The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game on the 4th of July. Proudly brought to you by BetMGM, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. It's baseball day, man. It's July 4th. We've got to get the baseball people in. Mark Borchardt here standing by. By the way, one last thing before we get to Borchardt. What I failed to mention about Ronald Acuna Jr. also, last night, when the Braves beat the Guardians 4-2, he becomes the first player to reach 20 homers, 40 stolen bases, 50 RBI before the All-Star break. 25 years old. He's also just the third player to hit 20 homers and steal 40 bases in the first 84 games of a season, joining Ricky Henderson and Eric Davis. Oh, great names from the late 80s and early 90s, or in Henderson's case, the entire 80s. But Henderson did that in 86. Henderson did it in 1990 with the A's. Eric Davis, for those of a certain generation who remember great baseball players of the 80s, did it in 1986 for the Cincinnati Reds. We join Mark Borchardt now from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. How you doing, Mark? Basewinner, basewinner.com, at Basewinner on Twitter. What's happening, man?
You know, I'm doing really good. I love watching the baseball on July 4th. I don't know about you, but I don't really bet that much on July 4th. It's been these holidays kind of get me out of the rhythm. I think they're a little bit arrhythmatic, I guess is the best way to say it.
He has arrhythmia is what he has, Kelly. I think that's what he's trying to tell us. He has arrhythmia. Well, let me just ask you this. Then after that preamble, this might not be the question, but there's a game that starts in 3 minutes. We're taking requests here at this point. The Reds and the Nationals, with the Reds -115 favorites in this ball game. Pitching matchup is going to be Brett Kennedy against the great Patrick Corbin, who's actually been pitching pretty well lately. Totals at 10. Did you have any thoughts on this game?
I don't. You know, Brett Kennedy, I thought maybe he was a political candidate, but I have him rated at like 112 purely on projection. But one thing I can say about Corbin, because I did watch him, I played Seattle when he played Seattle last. And I did watch that game, and I thought his slider was very impressive for what it's worth. I've got it priced at -111, so no value there. But he can get that slider back. Remember, that's why he got that big contract, Gil.
Mm-hmm. Sure do. Nationals were hoping for so much with him. It just has not panned out over the years, for sure, with Patrick Corbin as a Washington National. What did you land on today, full slate of baseball?
Actually, there's three games that I like. One is a base winner parlay. Of course, you can't have a July 4th without a base winner parlay.
It's an official segment.
And
yep.
Yes, yes. And I'm going to go with the Marlins. I'm playing against Wainwright. I like Lizardo. You look at some of Lizardo's, I guess, high-level stats. He's got a 32.9% strikeout rate over his last 150 plate appearances. And that's best on the board. It's actually better than Ohtani, who's second. And then there's Giolito, who's third in that department. So Lizardo definitely has some numbers that look good. And if you saw him, you think, well, this guy's a legitimate pitcher. So because it begs a question, well, you know, the St. Louis team, you want to play really have them against left-handed pitching, play against them rather against left-handed pitching, which is a really good split for them. Still is. They're fourth in baseball versus left-handed pitching by my numbers, but the Marlins are no slouches. You know, you look at the Marlins before, you'd think they're in the 20s somewhere from a ranking standpoint, but they're right middle of the pack versus right-handed pitching 15. But really the reason for this game is the inability of Wainwright to really put any kind of like legitimate numbers. And I could go into it. It's pretty brutal, Gil. I mean, you look at a strikeout percentage, it's worst in the league, 10.7 strikeout percentage last 150 plate appearances. We talked about this on quarter two about like these guys holding like, back in the past, they would hold on to a pitcher for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
While his demise continued. And I haven't seen it recently until now. And you think that, well, cause Wainwright's numbers are so poor, but I think they're giving him a longer leash just because of who he is, Gil.
There's no question. I mean, a 10.7% K rate this year from Adam Wainwright. For those who have spent much of their adult lives on Fangraphs, 10.7% K rate is about as anemic as it gets. By the way, the walk rate 7.3%. We've seen incidents of, you know, people who have actually had, I remember John Lester one year, like his walk rate was higher than his K rate. when he was waning down too. So, I mean, those are the worst. But 10.7% K rate, baseball is a very simple game. You try to miss bats as much as you can, right? Contact will create bad things ultimately, you know, eventually, if you're pitching to contact. And so that's what he is, right? They're just, the contact rate is unbelievable. Now, he does have an unfortunate, oh, no, that wasn't even that. Correct me. I was about to say something that was incorrect. Actually, like the batting average against to that point, the batting average against is 355. And so when you look at a BABIT of 375, you're like, oh, well, he's been really unfortunate. Yeah, but if you only have a 10.7% K rate, that's going to happen, right?
Like, yeah. So look, like I do median last 17 games. It's a number that I really like to use. And his median strikeout percentage is worse. It's 8%. His walk rate is okay. It's a league average at 8%. But like, that's not going to get it done. And I think that the last game against Houston, I mean, he was literally in tears on the bench. And I don't see this guy finding it. So
who are you?
I don't know. I gotta play against him.
Yeah. Who are you pairing the Marlins with?
I'm going to play him with the Mets. I like Senga. He's got a 28.4% strikeout rate. And a really good barrel rate this year, too. A 4.6% barrel rate puts him in the top 10% in that department in a good way. And so I have the Mets in the market at minus 111. I've got them priced at minus 123. So not a huge difference, but enough to make it a play. You put Miami and the Mets in a parlay, it's plus 200 roughly. And I think that's a good way to go, Gil.
Okay. Mets are only a minus 115 proposition in that game, though, huh? And you're parlaying them.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe it kind of moved towards the Mets when I made my play. But right now, I mean, I still get value. I mean, minus 123 to minus 115 is good enough for me.
Okay, so that's the parlay, the Marlins-Mets parlay. What were your other two plays today?
I'm going to go with your Oakland A's, Gil. You know, I've got the game priced at Detroit minus 109, and you can get Oakland at plus 155. I like Sears. Sears is better than an average pitcher for me. And, this A's team and the Detroit offense, I've got the A's rated better than the Detroit offense. That's what I think about the Detroit offense. So I think that's a decent play. And then I mentioned Giolito with a high strikeout percentage. I'm going to play the White Sox plus 109 as a home dog. And that's a night game. So those are the plays that I got today, Gil.
Yeah, the Athletics, though, they're proving once again they haven't yet, because right, they're only on pace to win just over 40 games, but they are slowly proving that no matter how bad you are in baseball, you do kind of figure out a way to cobble together 50 wins. You know, like they could very well. It would surprise no one if they actually got to 50 when all was said and done. So we'll see if they get one game towards that. What's your projected win total on them right now?
Got them at 53.7, and I just looked. They're at 50.5 here in Arizona at Caesars, so that's a good play. I mean, that's a minus 400 chance to get to that over 50.5.
Is that your favorite adjusted season win total play?
I think it's pretty. You know, I like the Brewers under. That's probably my favorite one. I've got them, Caesars has them at 86 wins. I've got them projected at 78.1. Just not a huge fan of the Brewers. And it starts really with Corbin Burns, who's a league average pitcher by his numbers, by the pertinent numbers that I use at least. And so it really kind of opens up value in that division. I mean, you could play Cincinnati and Chicago to win if you're looking for dogs. You could, I guess, I don't know if you can play against a team to not win the division, but that would be an idea too. But I'm showing in the market, the Reds are at 140 plus 140 to win that division, Gil.
You still like it. Reds and Brewers, by the way, in a dead heat right now, top the
NL Central. I think the Reds really, by my projections, by my simulations, are going to win this division 42% of the time. So that would price them. They're priced in the market at 260. I think that they should be plus 138. So value with the Reds in that division. And then the Cubs, I've got winning at 32% of the time. You can get them at 12-1. And so that's a nice dog price. I've got them at, they should be plus 212 based on that number. I really like the Cubs bullpen, Gil.
Cubs are seven back. I mean, these really Milwaukee and Cincinnati have really separated themselves from the rest of the division at this point, heading into the break. Not quite at the break yet, but Pirates are 6.5 back, Cubs 7 back, and the Cardinals, Again, if it weren't for the Rockies and the Nationals, they'd be the worst team in the National League. They were at 10.5 full games back. But again, half the season still to go, so much of this could change. You like the Cubs bullpen, and that, as we've said many times on this show, the bullpen is the thing that's right in front of us that's the hardest to sort of have our eyes quantify, if you will. So we rely on people like you. Is there another adjusted season win totals bet that you like besides the Brewers under and the A's over?
Let me see. Yeah, you know, I like this Pirates team. They're 71.5, and I've got them at 75.2. So that's a good play, Gil.
Jeez. There is. No. I mean, that's for those who are wondering, are like, oh, that's only 3.5, 4 games. I mean, that's pretty substantial, right, Mark? I mean, that's, you said minus 400-ish is what that represents.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It's a minus 431 from a probability standpoint. And then the Nationals, I have the Nationals 67.9, and they're in the market at 62.5. And, you know, their starting pitching's really kind of gotten better. They've got a couple pieces in the bullpen that aren't bad. And then they don't strike out a lot. So that goes a lot in my rating. So that's another play to look at, Gil.
I love it because I know there's a significant percentage of the folks listening right now who are like, let me get this straight. Over on the A's, over on the Nationals, over on the Pirates. This should be fun to live through. But hey, value is value. Under on the Brewers, quite interesting as well. More season-long thoughts from Mark Borchardt on the other side. See if he has any more adjusted season win totals, his favorite division bets. Some awards markets. We'll get his thoughts on Cy Youngs, both AL and NL. It's a numbers game on July 4th right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Happy 4th.
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check them out, all of today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. That's what should happen, Kelly, with betting splits instead of the split and bets shout that you do. This should just become like your three words of whatever editorial you want to make every day. Let's try it.
Wait.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Hot dogs overrated.
Like anything like that. That's what it should be every day. Hot dogs overrated. They're playing Wimbledon two matches at a time, man.
Hot dogs are not overrated, but JVT put it perfectly.
Like, yes.
99% of the time, I'm taking a burger over a dog.
I agree. But again, if you want to invite me to your barbecue today, I'm open.
I'm free.
Yeah. No, burgers are, in fact, I don't even know if I ever get to the hot dogs at a barbecue anymore. Like, it's just burgers.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you at least start with a burger, right? And then you're like, maybe I'll grab a dog after.
That's a great point. Got to start with a burger because you don't want to ruin your stomach we'll start with a hot dog. Two matches at a time at Wimbledon at this pace. We're going to finish the tournament in August. Right now, Andy Murray, former Wimbledon champ, of course, one of the big four back in the day, taking on his fellow Brit, Ryan Peniston, and Ons Jabeur up a set and a break against Magdalene Fresh from Poland. Ons Jabeur, who was a finalist here last year when Elena Rybakina, who just won earlier, beat her. But that's where we are at Wimbledon. Again, slogging through the rain. The rain literally putting a damper on the tournament. One match on center court, one match on the number one court, and that'll be, it looks like, I don't want to say for the rest of the day, but it kind of feels that way. Still raining outside. No let up in England. Mark Borchardt joins us again on the 4th of July. Baseball all day long. He's given us his baseball plays for the day. By the way, if you missed those will be up on the VSiN.com/picks page. Every host, every guest, all of their picks at VSiN.com/picks. Let's continue with some of the more season-long things. I know you and I just did a Q2 podcast. By the way, people should check that out at the Beating the Book feed. But, you know, it's the halfway point. It's July 4th. It's also a good time to just sort of review what's out there. You're talking about some of your adjusted season win totals. Brewers under you like. You like the over on the Pirates, the Nats, and the Athletics. Was there any other adjusted season wins, or did we cover it with those four?
I hate to say this, but the Angels under is showing value at 83.5. I just don't think they have the bullpen to get it done. I'm glad we're going over this again, because this is an interesting number with the Braves. I have them at 107.3. Sounds like a radio station, they're in the market at 104.5. But I guess you got to use some subjectivity. This is purely math based on simulation and component ratings. But like when they get down to where they've clinched the number one seed, then I think you got to use a little bit of subjectivity. But yes. I don't know what your thought on this, Gil, is. But like, is the team going to stop playing? I mean, like, they still want to get their reps in, right?
They still want to get their reps in. You might have someone like Strider who might have a shot at 20 wins, right? There's still, you know, Acuna Jr. is going to want to hit some personal numbers we just talked about last segment. Maybe he's a 40-70 or a 40-80 guy. So, yeah, I mean, you have to be careful being subjective about it too, right? Because, yeah, the manager's going to manage for a 162-game schedule and realize, well, we want to be fresh for the playoffs. But at the same time, you don't want to break the momentum.
Yeah, that's true. And then the other thing I just wanted to point out too is like this doesn't take into account like, well, this team's going to be a buyer or a seller. So you kind of got to use
it does not. So let me ask you about the Angels specifically. And first of all, this is before Trout got hurt last night. So for those who missed it again, eighth inning, Trout takes a swing like he does every swing that he takes. And this time his wrist got all jacked up. It had to be removed from the game. So we don't know what the extent is. We'll get test results today on it. If he were to be removed for the lineup for, I don't know, 3 to 4 weeks, and by the way, there's an all-star break, so it helps out, you know, these teams right now. If they're like, well, let's put him on the IL because, you know, right now, because that wouldn't be as big of an issue, obviously, because we have a week where there's no, you know, most of the week where there's no games next week. But what would a Trout absence mean to your numbers? Like, have you looked at quantifying that?
Yeah, I'd have to. I would just manually adjust it down the offensive. I got a runs projection, like, you know, plus 100 number, like weighted runs created plus is kind of what I equate it to. And I'd bring it down 3 points for him. And a lot of it's subjectivity. And then I just rerun the simulations and it would calculate those for me. So that's how I would quantify that. Mm-hmm. But I think the Angels' problem is their bullpen. They've tried to bring guys up from AA. Guy got hurt. Estevez has been okay. He's been better than what he was in Colorado, but he's kind of starting to fade a little bit. So I just, you've got to have a really locked down bullpen to be a bona fide playoff contender, get into the playoffs, and then win games in the playoffs, Gil.
I mean, even before, you know, you're saying the bullpen, but when you watch the Angels play baseball, and that's the one team, like of all the supposed teams that are blacked out here in Las Vegas, for some reason you can watch the Angels every single night. Like, they're always on TV through some of the regional networks. At least, you know, Cox Cable will have them. So you see a lot of Angels baseball. Their offense is just completely untrustworthy. Completely untrustworthy to me. And last night, the ultimate example where they couldn't cash in, they had so many opportunities against Blake Snell.
Yeah, Snell. I had the Padres in the first five last night, and Snell really walked the tightrope, as they say. Mm-hmm. You could equate him to Houdini last night. But getting back to the Angels, so I do like their offense skill.
Oh,
so I would disagree with you. So what I'm looking at is last 500 plate appearances. I think that's a good sample size ISO power. And versus right-handed pitching, they're second in baseball by that number. And then versus lefties, they're sixth. So I think that there's some power there. I think the lineup is pretty good, actually.
Okay.
But, you know, you go Ohtani, and Detmers has had a good season too. But outside of that, they have no starting pitching, and then they have no bullpen. So that kind of factors into those simulations. Plus, I like Houston and Texas I like too. So, you know, you put that all in the mixer, and that's kind of why that's going under for the Angels. Unfortunately, because I want to see them go in. I mean, I was very high on them earlier in the year, Gil.
You're not touching the Ohtani game today, Ohtani on the hill against the Padres today, Joe Musgrove?
I thought about playing the under, Gil, and I don't know. Something kept me off that game. Again, I think a lot of this for me on July 4th comes down to, like, you know, I'm outside of my comfort zone, outside of my rhythm. So if I'm on the fence about playing something, then I'm not going to play it. But it was at 7.5 in the market. I have it at 7. You know, Musgrove's kind of improved a little bit. And Ohtani, I've got ranked as 12th best pitcher in baseball by my numbers, Gil.
All right, let's do rapid fire here. You said 12th best pitcher in baseball. Is that what you have, Otani? That's what you said?
Yeah,
okay.
I do.
Rapid fire. Your favorite division bet. Let's update this. Your favorite division bet currently that's out there is?
I would say, hold on a second. I got a page back over to that. That's a good question. I would say the Cubs at 12-1.
Cubs
that's
at 12-1.
That's probably the best.
Wow.
I also like the Astros at even money. And I like the Dodgers at -140. Those are three plays from three different divisions.
Okay. Wow. All right. Now, you're the guy who gave us Robbie Ray 100-1. You did that on July 31st, a couple years back, and that cashed in. Let's just, on the way out, let's look at the AL and NL Cy Young, because we have some IL appearances here that have impacted. So Shane McClanahan in the American League, mid-back injuries, put on the IL. Again, all-star break, so you wonder, okay, how legit is it? Because this could just be a convenient time to do that. But this has rejiggered the entire American League Cy Young market, where Framber Valdez is now the short shot at +250. Then you have Kevin Gausman at 4-1, Garrett Cole 5-1. McClanahan is 7-1, and then Shohei and Eovaldi at 11-1. That's at DraftKings. Although I looked this morning and Shohei was fourth. Shohei had dropped. He had taken a couple bets, so I'm not sure what's what right now.
He's 7-1.
7-1 now. Yeah, that's what I saw earlier this morning. So Shohei's now in the fourth hole, and Shane has dropped back a little. Where is there a bet here? And do you think that's properly priced?
I like Gausman at 4-1. I mean, he's got the best base winner ERA, 2.51. You look at strikeouts, just real quick. This is a big number, 146 to the next guy in the American League, Otani at 127. And I can see him getting wins. I like that that Toronto bullpen. So I can see him going deep into games, getting in the bullpen, being able to hold him. So yeah, Gausman for me.
All right, National League, Clayton Kershaw, for those who missed it yesterday, placed on the IL. He was up there, of course, number two in the NL Cy Young market behind Zach Gallen, who got shelled the other day. Not sure. He had a lot of strikeouts, Zach Gallen did, but he did get beat up with a long ball. So it's Gallen at +165. Kershaw, who's going on the IL again right before the All-Star break, so that's convenient, at +350. And then it's Spencer Strider at +750 and Stroman down to 11-1. Did I do that with our whole dissertation last week? Do you think those numbers are correct?
Oh, I think Strider's value there. I'm upset about Kershaw. You know, I gave four guys out on your show. Kershaw was one of them at 50-1. Yeah. So that's a bummer for me. But I think Strider, I mean, look at the numbers. Look at the strikeouts. Look at the wins. That's to me very important.
Deal. I continue to amass a position on Spencer Strider. I just think +750 makes no sense whatsoever. Mark, thank you. Happy 4th of July. Thanks for hanging out, man.
Pleasure, Gil.
Mark Borcher from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. Base winner at basewinner, basewinner.com. Coming back, hot dogs next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we've just released our NFL betting guide. Our NFL betting guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19. That's it. And get your newly released NFL betting guide, or take advantage of our summer kickoff special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $175. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. Did I read the wrong promo? Is that why the camera was on me? I believe I read the correct one. Yes, I did. Kelly's like, yeah, you got it right. Stop talking about it, Gil.
Yes, exactly.
So he's really telling me, silence wise.
It's called technical difficulties. Read through it, Gil.
That's great. I'm like, hey guys, because whenever that happens, I'm always like, oh, did I do that wrong? Nope. We get tweets at Bitty the Book. Nevada Azer. People forget that Mickey Mantle could run like a deer. Talking about 40-40 when Canseco did it, he was like, if I knew that it was going to be a thing, I would have done it every year. By the way, Nevada A's are also liking his own tweet. Is that allowed?
It's a pro move right there. Yeah.
That is a pro move. Corbin, happy 4th of July from your friends up north. The most American thing that I want to see today would be the Falcon handlers. Can't remember the hotel. That would be the win.
Oh, the win, yeah.
To fly out Joey Chestnut, his last two hot dogs, to him and make it a storybook ending for him. That would be very American. That would be American overload. Overload, I should say.
I guess Corbin from Canada as well. I feel like 80% of our audience is from Canada.
Today.
Every day. I feel like it's every day, which I love.
We love you.
Canada. Yeah.
Specifically,
80%
you, Ontario.
80% of our guests are, too. I mean, obviously all of our hockey guys.
New Jersey, New York. Regarding Arias versus Acuna Jr., it feels like the rule changes are playing a huge part in these numbers. Oh, I agree. Arias flirting with 400 and leading the major league in hits this year after the shift was banned, while Acuna Jr. has 40 steals before the All-Star break with bases being enlarged. No question about it, man. No doubt about that,
for
sure.
On the clock, too. Which is benefiting more, would you say?
Which?
Arias or Acuna from the rule changes?
Well, Arias was always a great hitter. But to flirt with 400, obviously you're being helped by the rules. I mean, all of it. It's hard to quantify. Like Corey Seager, for instance, who we never mention ever but has been a favorite on this show year after year after year. Corey Seager's having a year just he more than anybody, because they removed the shift, all of a sudden he gets to be the height of his powers again.
Right.
So I think the removal of the shift ultimately is the bigger deal, but it's hard to say because not only are the bases enlarged, but now you can only go to first base twice.
The clock, right? You can kind of time stuff a little bit.
Baseball's just better this year because of all of that. Have you heard one human being? One human being. I want you to find the human being who says, you know, I don't like these rule changes. I like a slow, protracted game that goes 4.5 hours. Give me back the 4.5 hour games in the American League.
I'm trying to see. I guess I didn't save this tweet. I saw a tweet yesterday, though, of the number of three-plus-hour games this year compared to, this point in seasons. It's ridiculous.
It's unbelievable. Change the game. And it was, and you could tell it, and it needed to happen. Everybody said it needed to happen. I don't remember anybody objecting to it even beforehand. I don't think there was anybody who was like, oh, God, I don't know about this. I don't know about this at all. We did speculate on, how it would affect relievers. By the way, I think the Giants have completely hacked the game of baseball. I think they know what they're doing on a level above everybody else. That's for another day. Let's talk hot dogs. Hot dog eating contest. Nathan's hot dog eating contest, where Joey Chestnut has dominated over the years. Prior to that, it was Kobayashi, who had dominated over a six-year stretch. Back in, we do a little hot dog history. You want to do that, Kevin?
Hot dog history.
Hot dog history. 2001 to 2006, six-year span, Takeru Kobayashi dominated this, won every Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Kobayashi topped out in that six-year span by eating 53 3/4 hot dogs. Back in those days, the hot dogs and buns, it should be noted. These are hot dogs and buns. In those days, you had 12 minutes to do it. And again, Kobayashi topping out at 53 3/4. Now, he was unseated by the great Joey Chestnut in the year 2007, who at that time ate a ridiculous, earth-shattering 66 hot dogs and buns over a 12-minute span. The next year, it went to 10 minutes. And there had to be an eat-off. I'm serious. After the 10 minutes, Joey Chestnut won his second in a row. In fact, Joey Chestnut, let me do the math here. Joey Chestnut has won, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. He's won 15 of the last 16. Since he unseated Kobayashi, he's won 15 of the last 16. The only exception to that being Matt Stoney.
So Matt Stoney, and then what, did Kobayashi beat him one other year? You said 14 of 16, right?
I meant to say 15 of 16.
Oh, okay.
Did I not say 15 of 16?
I thought you said 14. I was confused.
Check the tape. What did I say? I thought I said 15.
You might have. You might have.
Matt Stoney in 2015 ended up eating 62. That year, he beat Joey Chestnut 60. By the way, Stoney has been ranked since then. You're like, what happened to Matt Stoney? Stoney's been ranked between 2 and 5. Apparently, they're a ranking system as well, Kelly. He's been between the 2nd and 5th ranked hot dog eater since then, so he's still around. But Chestnut, the record, and now we're talking 10 minutes, right? The record was set 2 years ago, 2021. Joey Chestnut, 76 hot dogs and buns in a 10-minute span, breaking his record from the year before of 75. Last year, he put down 63. Anyway, he's a massive favorite to win his 16th in 17 years.
Yeah, our graphic system's down right now, Gil. So
is he, minus 4,000? We got it on the screen.
Minus 4,000. Just got it back. There we go. Minus 4,000. Yeah. And then Jeffrey Esper, 10-1. Nick Weary, 20-1. James Webb, 25-1. I didn't know. This is bad producing on my part, okay?
Bad producer.
I didn't know the women's competition is currently going on. Apparently, it's currently going on, but it's not on TV.
How have we not done the play-by-play on this?
They don't have it on TV. So the men's competition starts at noon Eastern. So it starts in like 20 minutes. That's why I put this here originally in the show.
Is it unequal purses as well?
I'm sure. I don't know. I'm sure there is.
Wow.
I haven't seen a number on Mickey Sudo, what she did yet, but yeah. So all we could really show you are the men's numbers. How about, I saw this tweet from John Ewing earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The odds for Chestnut by year. 2023, minus 5,000. Last year, minus 3,000. 2021, minus 1,400. 2020, minus 1,250. 2019, minus 900. 2018, minus 550. 2017, minus 350. 2016, plus 150. Like, this guy's gone from, in 7 years, has gone from plus 150 to minus 5,000.
You ever see the 30 for 30 documentary, The Good, the Bad, and the Hungry?
I think I did when it first came out.
Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kobayashi still considers him, himself the best of all time. And by the way, if you're asking, why isn't Kobayashi do this anymore? It is still a contract dispute with the people who run the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, and they never got it resolved, I guess.
It was a weird story like that.
Because they have a monopoly over this.
It's the major league eating, at least this is the way it used to be, where they basically have a monopoly on all the U.S. competitions.
Major league eating, or the MLE.
The MLE, of course.
Sanctioned by the International Federation of Competitive Eating, the IFOCE. Or is the cool kids?
I don't know what Kobayashi's up to these days. He might still be competing internationally, I guess.
Kobayashi, like if you go to his Wikipedia, apparently in 2014 he ate 113 bunless hot dogs.
Oh God!
In this time span, but these are about the dogs and the buns. So anyway, is there actionable betting stuff here? Joey Chestnut has a spread against whoever he finishes second. And the person who is the second shot here, is that Mike Esper? Mike Esper second? Is that his name?
Yeah.
If you put your head to the ground, if you put your ear to the ground, is that what people do? They put their ear to the ground?
Jeffrey Esper.
Jeffrey Esper. Did I say Jeff Esper?
I don't know. Mike Jeff, something like that. I don't know what I said. We didn't.
Jeffrey Esper. Apparently, if you put your ear to the ground on this hot dog eating contest, people say that there might be something wrong with him, and like he may not perform as well this time.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, no, that's a thing. So,
I didn't know Gil was going to roll into this segment with some
actual betting information.
Yeah, with some information.
So you
his
can
total.
You could
50 and a half.
Okay, so you could under that. You could fade him in a matchup. Chestnut though is like such the big favorite here. Is there a spread on Chestnut versus number two?
So they took those down. They were up early. They were up early.
Okay, because we're about to happen here, I guess.
Yeah, we're about to. It's starting. Yeah, 20 minutes. We're starting. The only other one that's up. There are some. So there's totals. Esper's 50.5, Chestnut's 72.5 for this one. You could also play his, will he beat his personal best? So that's more than 76.
Yeah.
Yes is plus 230, no minus 290.
That appears, again, just based on historical numbers, appears to be properly priced as a dog. You're probably not even getting as much bang for your buck as you should there because, again, he was in the 60s last year.
Well, the other one is if you're talking about the number two guy actually be having a problem, does he slow down at the end?
That's right. He might just play out the clock.
Right? Like, if you're 20 hot dogs ahead, you've won this thing a million times already. Who cares?
You know that 30 for 30? I couldn't get through it. You know why?
Why?
Kobayashi's teeth were like so yellow. All I kept thinking about was that he hadn't brushed his teeth since the hot dogs. The whole thing. Tough to get through. Sorry about that, guys. Apologize. Jason Weingarten, baseball next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you could also convert your BetMGM points into MGM rewards points that you could use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Anja Jabeur wins her first round match at Wimbledon, beating Magdalene Fresh in straight sets, and the Reds with a 2-0 lead Out the gates against the Washington Nationals, Ellie De La Cruz already 2-for-2, two singles with a stolen base.
He's not bad. Mickey Sudo wins.
Mickey Sudo.
39.5 dogs, so the under hits as well for her.
What was her number, 50?
43.5.
Oh, 43.5, okay. 43.5. So under for, she's from Las Vegas, Sean? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Not televised. Apparently, we have uncovered a massive amount of sexism in the hot dog eating world.
Does that happen? Apparently, that happens every year, I'm guessing. I just hadn't noticed till that.
I don't remember offhand, anecdotally, just seeing that competition. Yeah.
All right. Not televised.
Let's find out if Jason Weingarten's betting the hot dog eating contest. He comes for us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern Cali. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. I am not betting the hot dog eating contest. I would rather bet on Nicaragua versus the Virgin Islands in basketball. But there are limits to you know,
yeah,
what I will bet on. And that line
that would
is
be
about
one of them.
The hot dog eating contest.
Yeah, for me too, as a matter of fact. For me too.
It just doesn't interest me. I don't know about you, but
can't.
It's not my thing.
I can't lay eyes on it. I really can't. It's just not my thing. What's the Nicaragua-Virgin Islands spread?
Oh, it was yesterday. Nicaragua won in overtime, I think.
You hit that? You hit
no,
that?
No, I was real busy yesterday. I didn't have much.
Okay.
Fortunately, well, or unfortunately.
Ellie De La Cruz 2-for-2 with a stolen base here to kick off the start the baseball day. What have you bet today?
So, I have one side that I particularly like, and then a whole bunch of first innings. Surprisingly, I was up early and a lot of interesting first inning prices, which means I'm probably about to lose a lot of money. But the game I bet,
yeah,
that I'm most excited about today, it's kind of a big lay, but the Marlins. Marlins are like -175 or so against the Cardinals. I see 180 on screen. Don't, you know, the higher it gets, it's, you know, less I love it past 180 or so. But Adam Wainwright.
Oh, yeah.
It's like one pitcher a year or every couple years, they just don't know when to call it quits. And it's sad to watch, and there's nothing you can do except bet them until they retire. And it might be the end of the season. It might be a week from now. It might be the All-Star break, but they gave him a standing ovation when he came out after like two innings in the last game. And I thought it was kind of sad. I felt like the fans were kind of telling him, you don't need to do this anymore. Like, you got nothing to prove. And he's just going to keep going out there, and I don't see anything changing. He doesn't have it, and sooner or later, someone's going to have to sit him down and say, hey, look, dude, you don't have it anymore.
He's 41 years old, a Cardinals legend. But yeah, we talked about it earlier, a 10.7% K rate, right? A 10.7% K rate, a .355 batting average against. 1.49 homers per nine against. I mean, you just go through it. I mean, the 350, the 1.94 whip. I mean, it's just, you're absolutely right. For a guy who has won, you know, he's two games. Here's the thing. He's two wins shy of winning 200 games. And whenever you have a guy who's stuck on 198, it feels like he's just hanging around because he's like, I just got to get these last two wins and then I'll go. And it just ain't happening. No.
He probably is. You're right.
Yeah.
That's probably very much part of it.
Yep. And you're right. And here's the thing. Yes, the Marlins are -180. So there's going to be a portion of the audience who's like, oh, that's too rich for my blood. But value is value. And this is like your baseball betting duty, right? This is your obligation as a baseball bettor to fade these guys when these guys are presented to us, because it will go away. And it will go away abruptly.
It's like the animal hunting down the other animal. You know, you don't have to get the fastest one. You're trying to pick off the slowest ones. We're looking at the worst pitchers and just fading them until they go away, whether it's Johnny Cueto or Chichi Gonzalez or
Chichi Gonzalez, yeah. I believe it was Chichi Gonzalez.
Okay, totally. Yeah. Mix them up. My bad.
Chichi Gonzalez, and then Hector Nuesi, of course, is a famous one as well.
But you just bet them until they go away.
Yeah, Kelly, you get his analogy there. Remember, if a bear is chasing me and you, Kelly, we don't have to outrun the bear. We just have to outrun each other.
I never heard that analogy from the other end before. That was from the bear's perspective.
From the bear's
perspective. All I got to do is catch Kelly, not Gil. That's from the bear's perspective.
That's right. Okay, so you love the Marlins. By the way, Mark Borchardt has been a parlay from earlier, too, citing the same exact angle, this sort of fade Adam Wainwright angle. What first innings might you be betting today, sir?
I got the Marlins first inning and even money.
Yes, a run will be scored.
Yes, these are all yes. Everything yes today.
Okay.
O's Yankees, minus 110. The Royals Twins, minus 110. I got Oakland Detroit, plus 110. Toronto versus the White Sox, also even money. Got the Rockies and the Astros, minus 105. Got the Phillies and the Rays, plus 110. And I got the Braves and the Guardians at even money. I'm confused some of these prices. Like they're short to me. Probably means I'm about to lose a lot of money today, as is holiday tradition.
So wait, how many holiday? That's right. Fireworks, losing money on first innings in baseball. So wait, how many games is that? I counted eight.
Eight. That's eight.
Okay. And I got them. I got all eight.
Yeah. So, and I like the Ohtani over strikeout, 7.5. I think that's kind of short. I'm a little worried he had a cracked nail in his last start, but
yeah,
you know, nice opportunity to kind of move himself ahead in the Cy Young rankings today.
Yeah, he's the fourth. He did shorten right with the McClanahan injury. As part of that, he is now the fourth short shot. So it's Valdez as the shortest shot, but Ohtani slots in at number four.
Eovaldi's up there too now.
Eovaldi's up there too. It depends where you're looking, right? Like these are going to vary.
Oh yeah, no, I'm talking about like the you know Tom Tango rankings, everything. Oh, not the odds.
Oh, the Tom Tango rankings, which I talked about when I talked about how much I like the Spencer Strider vote, but how Tom Tango has Marcus Stroman as his NL Cy Young guy.
But yeah. I think Stroman gets traded. And I think that hurts him. You know, the whole guys get traded, never win these awards sort of things. It's a lot to overcome if he gets traded. I think he does, especially I had the Cubs yesterday. That very much upset me. Games don't upset me very much, but I looked at the score. It was 3-0. It was 6-0. I wasn't home yesterday, so I didn't get to follow anything really. Then I look and I go, oh, it's 6-6. Great. That's awesome. You know, and the Brewers were coming off a 10-game 3-city road trip. Cubs couldn't win that game. Like clearly I think they're going to be sellers at the deadline. This is, you know, not a team that's built to win this year.
Wow. Conflicting things on the Cubs. Cause Borchardt thought 12-1 on them to win that division is his favorite division bet. You're right about Stroman, by the way. If he gets traded to a different league, if he goes over to the American League, his National League stats get frozen. That's it. They don't accumulate in the American League. So he'd be donezo essentially in that race. You know, there were two games yesterday concurrently that had 6-0 leads. Both the Cubs leading the Brewers 6-0, the Brewers beat them 8-6, but the Astros were up on the Rangers 6-0. They had to come from ahead from behind to win that 12-11. So these games have been wacky. So Ohtani over 7.5 strikeouts, you're putting that one in as well.
I will probably bet that first inning. I just see the price; it's like +110 right now, and I know with like a 7.5 total, it's going to keep going up, especially close get to the late afternoon. So we got no hurry for me betting that one.
Is that a ninth game?
Yeah, it'll be a ninth game. I'm sure. You know, I don't know when I've had enough today. You know, it's a holiday.
What's your strategy here? Do you round robin these?
No, I'm playing them all straight. The round robin sort of the flamethrower method. And, I'm, you know, trying not to ruin the 4th of July. It's like, you don't want to blow your hand up when you're playing with fireworks. Some sparkly things.
That's right. It's one thing to lose. You don't want to burn yourself. Yeah, I understand.
I'm not trying to blow off any hands today. Let's keep all our fingers, everybody.
It's the hand open thing. He's willing to burn his hand. He just doesn't want to blow off the hand.
I gotcha. Understood.
Second degree burns, maybe all right, but we don't want anybody going to the emergency room on 4th of July. You know what I mean?
Well, on that note, I think we've done all we can do. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Happy 4th, man.
Happy 4th. I'll talk to you later this week. Got to talk about Rose Zhang. She's a favorite. Oh, first round leader. Great bet. 25-1. DraftKings. Bet that. Rose Zhang.
Jason's best bets are the Columbo ones where he's left the room and he's like, oh, one more thing. Rose Zhang. We'll talk to Jason later about that. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN.